Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. I'm Michelle Martin. Overnight in the U.S., we saw big technology companies amongst the biggest decliners for a second straight day. Financial and energy companies, the best performing sectors of the S&P 500 so far this year, fell the most. Now, these sectors, in addition to industrials, have been favorites of investors, betting that the economy will continue to recover from the pandemic. And speaking of favorites, they've been red hot in recent history, but what's the outlook for disruptive stocks? Last year, such a banner year for disruptive stocks like Zoom, which gained so much ground amid the pandemic. Over the longer term, though, we ask, are they fundamentally strong companies riding structural tailwinds? Are these buy and hold gems for the long haul? Some of them have seen stunning drops this year as value and cyclical stocks take off in anticipation of a recovery. So, how far have disruptive stocks come? How have they fared so far? And are their recovery plays comparatively worth looking at? We're going to zero in on Zoom, Beyond Meat, Uber, ComfortDelGro, SIA, and a couple of restaurant stocks as well. Time to say good morning to Nirgunan Tiruchelvam. He's head of consumer equity research at Telema and the author of a great new book, Investing in the COVID Era. Good morning, Nirgunan.
Good morning, Michelle.
How are you doing?
Very well, very well.
All right. So tell us about your investment thesis on disruptive stocks. How are they doing this year compared to last?
This year has been very difficult for the disruptors. Last year was a perfect storm for disruptive technologies. Let's take Zoom. The stock performed well beyond even their vastest, even their wildest expectations, if I may say so. Similarly, stocks such as Beyond Meat, Amazon, stocks that are looking, companies that are looking to disrupt their industries had a very strong year in 2020. This year has been relatively unkind to them.
Is that because of the rotation out to cyclicals in anticipation of recovery?
Yes. So over the last 90 days, if you look at the Russell 1000 Value Index, it's up 14%. And if you look at the Russell 1000 Growth Index, it's actually flat over the last 90 days, and that obscures the fact that a number of the disruptors have actually fallen quite precipitously in 2021.
Wow. All right, can we take a closer look at Zoom? So the rollout of vaccines has raised hopes for the pandemic, but one of the biggest winners of the work-from-home boom, some say, is not going away. The vaccine is not going to kill Zoom. It may not perform like it did in 2020, but it still has surprises up its sleeves. Bank of America reinstated coverage of Zoom's got a buy rating and says the company's stock could soar again this year and erase much of its slide in recent months. So it's looking at a target price call of about a 47% rally over the next 12 months. What to $480? Zoom closed yesterday at $325, $300.25, up 4.08%. What is your outlook on Zoom?
Zoom is up compared to January 2020. It's up about 50%, but it has lost nearly half its value from its peak of 2020. It peaked at 568, if I'm not mistaken, during the heady days of the summer of 2020. Mm-hmm. The outlook is one where it would be very difficult for Zoom to replicate both its operational performance and its stock market performance as the lockdowns end, people stop communicating on Zoom to the same degree and meet in person. When that happens, you're better off running after value plays such as ComfortDelGro.
All right, we're going to talk about ComfortDelGro in a while, but maybe a good comparison to that is if we first talked about Uber. So when we looked at Uber, another disruptive play, but we did see the tech giant's mobility unit hit hard by the COVID pandemic last year because of those lockdown restrictions, which led to a collapse in demand for ride-sharing services. But there was a boom in food delivery that helped Uber limit losses in 2020. And Uber shares ended trading up 0.9% last night at $46.20. What's your take on Uber as a disruptive stock?
Uber is at the cutting edge of disruption, not only in the ride-hailing business, but also in the food delivery business. Now, the food delivery business may seem like a technology business, but actually it's a very low-tech business. The more business that you do in food delivery, the more money that you lose. Whether you are in Lagos, whether you're in New York, whether you're in Singapore, the average delivery person, the average delivery boy or girl, can at best do 2 deliveries an hour.
Right.
That means that you do not get the economies of scale that you get in other technology businesses, because the marginal costs stay the same and the marginal returns are not working in your favor. You can only do 2 deliveries an hour, whatever business you do. Mm. That means that the food delivery business is a business that may seem disruptive in some ways, but in other ways is a cash-burning business, irrespective of how much business they do.
All right. So, speaking of cash burn, Facebook has cash burn, but some say it's one of the most efficient cash-generating machines America's ever seen. But Uber, when you look at the figures, you're not so confident about it moving forward in 2021?
That's right. So my view is that Uber had its day in the sun. It's not going to go away, but you are an investor is better off looking elsewhere for value rather than running after growth names such as Uber, because there are aspects of its business which are fundamentally cash burning and may put a burden on investors' expectations of returns.
Okay. So the optimism over disruptive stocks was that, you know, they were going to become dominant players in their respective niches, and they were going to be something that you would buy and hold for the long haul, 10 years in advance, because there were these structural tailwinds that would keep pushing them up. Case in point, Beyond Meat, right? Started over 10 years ago, emerged as a leader in plant-based meat alternatives. And we know that the vegan company line can be found in, you know, a vast number of countries, I think some 80 now at least. And in May 2019, at the IPO launch, we saw Beyond, BYND, stock rocketing 859% to all-time highs. Beyond Meat shares ended trading up 2.3% last night at $109.60. What's your take on Beyond Meat?
Beyond Meat's valuation is beyond belief in many ways. I am a vegetarian, so I'm very sympathetic to some of Beyond Meat's products. But jokes apart, you need to look at its disruption in comparison to the disruption that Tesla is doing.
Okay.
Tesla is trading at a vast premium to the rest of the is trading at a 20 times premium to its peers in the auto sector. It is trading at 20 times the valuation of General Motors. Beyond Meat is only trading 10 times the valuation of its competitor, Tyson Foods, or in China, there is a pork producer called WH Group. That means, as disruptors go, Beyond Meat is good value. It could actually rise even further because only 5% of Americans are vegetarians. There is a vast body of people who may be more sympathetic to a more vegetarian cuisine. They may adopt the plant-based meat much more readily as the product takes generates traction among consumers, not only in the U.S., but in a number of other Western countries. So there's a long way to go for this product.
Interesting. Yeah, I think people look at disruptive stocks because they look at them as new wealth building opportunities, right? Those that can potentially dwarf any that came before them. If we look at where we might be better off putting our money at than the disruptive plays, are there some stocks that you're pretty bullish on?
Yes. There are value names that would generate great returns for investors, but do you want me to restrict my comments to disruptors?
No, feel free to expand beyond them. You mentioned ComfortDelGro a little earlier, and I thought that was interesting, given how we've seen Uber not do so well this year. So why is ComfortDelGro potentially a better place to put our money compared to disruptive stocks? Some of which we've talked about, yeah.
Yes, as the lockdown eases in Singapore and elsewhere, people would want to meet more in person. They would go for movies. They would actually visit the office. They would go to bars. They would congregate. And people would use ComfortDelGro's principal products, such as taxis, much more readily. Now, Singapore is a unique market for taxis because cars are so expensive here. It is actually very difficult for a disruptor to gain traction. People still continue, for a number of reasons, to use ComfortDelGro versus the cheaper alternatives such as Grab.
All right. Now, I was just talking to a guest this morning, and, you know, he had to revise his expectations. He was hoping, he's in Sydney, and he was hoping to be down here by September to be in my studio so we could, you know, do the show together live. And he thinks, no, that's not going to happen, because I was mentioning the World Economic Forum is going to proceed as planned here in Singapore. That's the expectation now, at least, you know, that the WEF is going to proceed as planned from the 17th to the 20th, in spite of tightening of borders that we've seen Singapore have to implement recently. So when it comes to airline stocks, I think man on the street feels it's not going to be, we're not going to be traveling for the next couple of years. So where do you stand on SIA? What is your outlook for it?
SIA is a great buy. Once travel returns, the stock will be flying high. I'm confident that eventually the worst of the pandemic would be behind us, and stocks such as SIA and a number of other airline stocks would provide value. SIA has the relationships, it has the landing rights, it has the network, it has the brand, it has everything required to make the most of a turnaround.
Okay, good to hear that optimism. Now, you mentioned that there were some disruptive plays that you were bullish on. So do you want to share some of those?
Yes, I would stress Beyond Meat, which I spoke about a little earlier, as a disruptor whose time has come. You need to look at the disruptive stocks from a scarcity perspective.
Right.
Why is it that Tesla has done so well? Why is it that Tesla has outperformed versus everybody's expectations? Why has it driven so many hedge funds to bankruptcy because they've been shorting it? The reason is the scarcity factor. We are living in an era where there's a phenomenon known as ESG funds. According to some accounts in Bloomberg, in 5 years' time, one-third of the money under management, one-third of the assets under management would be ESG-focused. That means these are fund managers or assets that are looking for opportunities that stress environmental considerations, social considerations, and value governance. Companies such as Beyond Meat and Tesla tick a lot of these boxes because they are less harmful to the environment or protect the environment to a far greater degree than their incumbents. And that's why disruptors would continue to perform well in the long term. Disruptors of that nature.
The market's downturn so far this week reflects growing concerns amongst investors. Inflation is rising. We know that any significant acceleration of inflation is going to drag the overall market, crimp broader economic recovery. What do you think? First up, where do you stand on inflationary fears? And follow up to that, how could they hit some of the disruptive stocks that you are bullish on?
The reason that disruptors are suffering when there are inflation fears is that people are afraid that inflation would lead the Fed to tighten rates. And if they tighten, that would end the party for the disruptors, because a lot of them have benefited from the loose policies that the Fed had adopted. The problem with such a thesis is that the Fed itself doesn't seem to be in a hurry to change their policy. So I would discount the inflationary fears, or the fears A, of inflation, and B, of a Fed reaction as a consequence, for those reasons.
All right. And bringing back home to Singapore, you know, when new social distancing rules came back into play, there were expectations that the restaurant sector, particularly because of muted footfall, would suffer. And we saw Jumbo issue a profit warning, for example, right? So when it comes to restaurant stocks, between Jumbo and No Signboard, for example, do you see a significant difference in terms of how the restaurant stocks could deal with these new social distancing rules?
There are some fundamental problems of restaurant stocks in the post-COVID era. One is that the number of seats that you can use within the restaurants has actually fallen. Restaurant capacity, let's say you had a capacity of X, it'll be 30% below X, or in some cases 50% below X. Mm. That means that the number of meals that you can serve are so much lower. It also means that your average order size has to become higher. The value of your orders has to become higher to make up for the difference. If the if the capacity is down by 50%, you have to possibly raise your average bill by a commensurate amount to make up the difference. Mm-hmm. Therefore, from an operational standpoint, COVID is problematic for these restaurant operators, even if the lockdowns end. However, from an investor's perspective, once they start generating some revenue, well, once there's revenue upside, investors would interpret it as a positive and it would go straight to the bottom line. And a number of restaurant stocks could perform very well as lockdowns ease, or even in the case of Singapore, once the situation is normalized.
All right. Well, fantastic insights as always. Thanks for a deep dive into disruptive stocks that we might want to stay away from and those we might want to head towards. Nirgunanti Rachelvam is head of consumer equity research at Telema and author of the book Investing in the COVID Era. Nirgunan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Michelle. It's a great pleasure.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.